Lalita Gati Vilasa Valguhasa.
Lalita Gati Vilasa Valguhasa.
Pranaya Nirikshina Kalpitorumanaha. Kritamanu Krita Vritvatya Unmadandaha. Prakriti Magan Kila Yasya Gopavadvaha. Translation. Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Rajadham, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after his disappearance from the Rasa dance. Purport. By intense ecstasy in loving service, the damsels of Vrajabhumi attained qualitative oneness with the Lord by dancing with him on an equal level, embracing him in nuptial love, smiling at him in joke, and looking at him with a loving attitude. The relation of the Lord with Arjuna is undoubtedly praiseworthy for devotees like Bhishma Dev, but the relation of the gopis with the Lord is still more praiseworthy because of their still more purified loving service. By the grace of the Lord, Arjuna was fortunate enough to have the fraternal service of the Lord as chariot driver. But the Lord did not award Arjuna with equal strength. The gopis, however, practically became one with the Lord by attainment of equal footing with the Lord. Bhishma's aspiration to remember the gopis is a prayer to have their mercy also at the last stage of his life. The Lord is satisfied more when his pure devotees are glorified, and therefore Bhishma Dev has not only glorified the acts of Arjuna, his immediate object of attraction, but has also remembered the gopis who were endowed with unrivaled opportunities by rendering service, loving service to the Lord. The gopis' equality with the Lord should never be misunderstood to be like the Sayuja liberation of the impersonalist. The equality is one of perfect ecstasy, where the differential conception is completely eradicated, for the interests of the lover and the beloved become identical. The passing away of Bhishma Dev is being described. This is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The battlefield was littered with lakhs of dead bodies, human bodies, elephant bodies, horse bodies. Apart from the soldiers killed, there was so many chariot drivers and other attaches. So everywhere there would be severed legs and hands and arms and heads and bodies lying in the position they'd fallen in. So a ghastly scene. Bhishma Dev was in Viraras, but this scene is, Viraras is the mode of heroism. That this is, this scene at Kurukshetra now must be more like Vibhatsaras, horror. So, vultures, dogs, jackals, they must be having a feast. So many flies, they'll all be there. So it's not a pleasant scene. It's the soldiers dharma, kshatriya dharma. He has to fight. Bhishma Dev has been fighting. And he fell. Covered like a porcupine with arrows. Fell down on the battlefield. And in that situation, he was waiting, apparently for the Uttarayana, but he was waiting for Krishna to come before him. His desire that he will see Krishna while passing from this world. He'll pass on to again see Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. And devotee sees him everywhere. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Devotee, in his life he sees Krishna. For a devotee there's no real death because he simply passes on to another situation to see and be seen by Krishna. He's never, even in death, apparent death, he's not lost to Krishna. Krishna is not lost to him. And Bhishma Dev, in this horrible situation, apparently horrible situation, he was steady-minded. Stiramatihi. His mind was steady and fixed on Krishna, who came before him, and Bhishma Dev is praising the gopis of Vrindavan, knowing that they are more dear to Krishna than himself. Bhishma is a great devotee of Krishna, one of the great authorities, one of the Mahajanas, great authorities on the science of Krishna. But he recognizes that even though Krishna is not just dear to me, but Krishna is the life of my life. My life is going away from this body, but my life is not finished because my life is in Krishna. I have no other life but in Krishna. But he appreciates that even though I certainly understand and recognize that I am also very dear to Krishna, as he is very dear to me. But Arjuna, who is socially my inferior, is my guru, even though I appear to be like guru to him. Gurun hatvan hi mahanubhavan. Arjuna was saying in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, how can we, Bhishma, Drona, Pramukhata, how can we kill the gurus? How can we attack gurus like Bhishma and Drona? So Bhishma is guru, but he's seeing Arjuna as, even the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj came to take instruction from Bhishma. But Bhishma is saying, Arjuna is more dear to Krishna than me because he has a more intimate relationship. Then what to speak of the gopis of Vrindavan? He's remembering in this situation, which is also its situation of Vira Ras, Vibhatsa Ras, and also overlaying with Karuna Ras, pathos, because he's going to pass away. So he's remembering the Madhur Ras of the gopis of Vrindavan, and he's reminding Krishna of that. Of course, Krishna is never forgetting. Sometimes people ask, how has Prabhupada given the name of the deities in his temple in Delhi as Radha Partha Sarati? It seems to be rasa bhas, an improper mixing of rasas. But there's no question of a devotee on the level of Srila Prabhupada making a rasa bas. And if anyone thinks like that, it means they don't understand what is rasa. Prabhupada is pointing out by giving this name, one meaning of that is to show that even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is about as different a situation from the Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri, the sweet groves of Vrindavan, it's about as different a situation as you could imagine. That even there, Krishna, he is not bereft of his antaranga shakti. He cannot but think of Radha. He's never separated from Radha, even if there's apparent separation. So Bhishma Dev is performing a service to Krishna by reminding him of the sweetness of his dealings with the gopis of Vrindavan, and he's also remembering for his own spiritual pleasure and elucidation and purification the devotees of Vrindavan, especially the gopis. We may say how Bhishma is to be purified. He's already a pure devotee. How can you purify that which is pure? If you have pure gold, you can't make it purer. If it's 100% gold, then how will you make it purer? This is a material calculation, because in material understanding there are limits. But in spiritual understanding there's no limit. In Sanskritam we have terms like Srishta means the best. So there's nothing better than the best. That means it's number one. But then there are other terms also. Srishta tatam even means best and better than best. And Srishta tatam, the best of the best. There's no limit. In spiritual existence, there's no limit. So purification doesn't mean that there's any contamination within the heart of Bhishma Dev. But he's appreciating the sentiments of the gopis whose, from the point of view of tattva-vichar, they're all pure devotees. From the point of rasa-vichar, there are gradations, not material gradations. It's not that Bhishma Dev is impure, but he's appreciating that the gopis' love for Krishna is even more intense than that of his, which is intense to a degree that is unimaginable. Now, Bhishma Dev is praising the gopis. We might not think that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra this is a very appropriate topic. But for the pure devotees, remembrance of Krishna is always appropriate. Kurukshetra is well known all over India, at least. People who are at least somewhat inclined toward Shastric study, they must have heard of Kurukshetra. Because Bhagavad Gita, the great battle of the Mahabharata was fought there. And Kurukshetra is the place where Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. The first verse of Bhagavad Gita in this. Dharma Kshetra. It is a place of Dharma. Kurukshetra. That was established by Kuru, being given the benediction that this would be Dharmakshetra, that people would come here to perform dharmic activities. And so it became the site for a great battle, a very suitable place for a battle, because big open space, people, big open flat space, which you might not get so much in India previously. Even 100 years ago, most of India was forest. What to speak of 5,000 years ago. So a very large open space, flat space, that was suitable for a battle. Open and flat because plowed land. Before the yajna, they have to plow. So that's a place where people come to perform yajna. So it's a big open space. So it became suitable for having a great battle, especially as not very far from Hastinapur, the capital of the Kauravas. So all the kings assembled there. Kurukshetra is famous. Now, we may think that in Gauriya Vaishnav culture, Kurukshetra may not be so very important, because Bhagavad Gita is the basis of spiritual philosophy, but it is comparable to the primary school stage, even though it's far more elevated than, you put all the philosophy outside of Bhagavad Gita together and it doesn't compare to the drop of ink in the first word. It's Dhritarashtra Uvacha. You take one drop of ink on the dhra or dhri, and you put all the philosophies of the world and it doesn't match up to that. But still, compared to the philosophy of or the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, it can be considered primary stage or introduction. And Gauriya Vaishnav Dharma, Siddhanta, Tattva, Rasa Vichar, this is based on Srimad Bhagavatam, especially as it's, or only as it's received through Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you may think that, well, Kurukshetra, that's not so important. Vrindavan is very important. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his revolutionary sayings, he said many things which will make the head spin. They're very unusual sayings. So once he was speaking, and he said that Vrindavan, that is a place only for very shallow-minded people. That is not for very advanced people. So one of his disciples who was listening and who later related this incident, which we're blessed to hear, this important understanding, that was Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. He said, when I heard this, I felt as if I'd fallen out of a tree, because he came to the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He came, specifically himself, came with all opposition from his family, giving up his smarta brahmana background, which was much stronger than now. The smarta brahmanas then didn't become computer engineers and go to America and so on and so on. They were very strict. They didn't run off in love marriages and so many different things. They were very strict. So against all opposition of his family, he came to the lotus feet of Srila Saraswati Thakur, being invigorated by the, or captivated by the prospect of attaining the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now all of a sudden, everything, the whole Vaishnav culture is centered towards Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And then all of a sudden in a lecture, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that only very shallow-minded people who don't really know what bhajan is all about, only they are interested in Vrindavan. And those who are really, they really know what bhajan is all about, they're interested in Kurukshetra. So, anyway, Sridhar Maharaj explained that I felt like I'd fallen out of a tree, but then I became very acutely listening, because I knew that he's going to say more, and he's not just going to leave it at that. He's not going to walk out. He's going to explain why. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that Krishna had left Vrindavan, and he had left Vrindavan. He was very busy killing demons and establishing a fort in the sea at Dwaraka and marrying so many different wives. And back in Vrindavan, all the Vrajavasis were practically dead, but somehow or other staying alive just with the thought that, because Krishna said he'll come back. He didn't come back, but we're just hoping he'll come back. If they were not hoping that he'd come back, then they would have died immediately. But somehow or other their life was going on with the hope that Krishna would come back. Then they got some news that at Kurukshetra, Dharma Kshetra, there will be a solar eclipse. And on that occasion, the followers of the Vedic culture, they go to bathe in the Samant Panchaka, the five ponds there, which were created by Parashuram. So the five ponds, one should bathe in them during the solar eclipse, and one acquires much punya. It is a place of dharma, and one should go there during a solar eclipse. So the residents of Vrindavan got news that Krishna will go there at that time. So they thought, okay, we're going too. Let's meet Krishna. They never had a mind to meet him outside Vrindavan, because they didn't like to go to Dwaraka or Mathura, because they felt that things will be different there. But they thought, let us meet him in Kurukshetra. Here's an opportunity to meet him. We on the pretext of going to acquire punya, they went to meet Krishna. So of course, among all the residents of Vrindavan, the one who is the very well, Krishna is the life of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, but Vrindavan centers around Radha Krishna. So among all of them, the hankering, this is what's being told by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the hankering of Srimati Radharani to meet Krishna exceeds millions and millions of times exceeds that of all the other Rajavasis put together. So she went, and Radha and Krishna met after a long time. It's a very long time, because yugayatyam nimeshena, every moment, tick, tick, nimesh means blinking, the time of blinking an eyelid. It seems like 12 years or more. So after within that moment in which it seems like 12 years, every moment of that conceived 12 years is a torture or an agony from not seeing Krishna. So then they all went, and Radharani met with Krishna. But it wasn't the same. She felt that now I got Krishna, but not quite, because here he is, he's dressed up like a king with all his old soldiers and elephants and opulence. This is not the Krishna I know. It's not my Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that in that situation where Radharani's need is the greatest, that she's with great hope and great expectation she has come, and she's almost got Krishna, but not quite, because this is not her Krishna. Now she wants to kidnap Krishna and take him back to Vrindavan. This is Rathyatra. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Rathyatra, Jagannath Rathyatra. Others, Karmis and the Smartas, and they may have their explanations. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's understanding of Rathyatra. So in that situation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that where Radharani's need is at its greatest, there even a little service can give great benefit, because there's great need of service. How to serve Radharani in this position? So therefore he concluded that Kurukshetra, this is the place of bhajan. Vrindavan, that's not so important. When you go, then everything will be there. But here in Kurukshetra, the need for service is more. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also proposed that I will make a little kuti and sit on the banks of Samanta Panchaka and perform bhajan there. And no one could understand, what's he talking about? And all the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they perform bhajan in Navadvip Dham or Puri or Vrindavan or maybe some Sripat, like Ek Chakra or some Sripat of Mahaprabhu's associates in Bengal. But in Kurukshetra, why Kurukshetra? So this was explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Kurukshetra's importance far exceeds that of the speaking of Bhagavad Gita, and speaking of Bhagavad Gita far exceeds that of anything else that ever happened in this world at any point in time. Whatever may be going on, what's going on in the world? War in Iraq, that's not news. Any other news? What's the news? Anyone seen the news? Government is? The government has changed in Nepal. Okay, that's the news. That's the main news. But it's all, everything, all totally insignificant in comparison to Krishna. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita at Kurukshetra. But there's another leela at Kurukshetra which eclipses not that the speaking of Bhagavad Gita is not important. Without Bhagavad Gita, without that basic understanding, which is not so very easy to understand either, then there's no understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are based on this. Vrindavan Leela and Kurukshetra Leela, the two phases, Sambhog and Viraha, Krishna meeting with Radharani and separation. So of the two, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially taught, the special contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is cultivating Krishna consciousness in the mood of separation. That is considered more sweet than even the coming together. Heart, what is that? Separation makes the heart grow fonder. So Bhishma Dev is appreciating this. He sees Krishna, how in this ghastly war, which is now almost at an end. The figure of Krishna was there in the battlefield. Bhishma was appreciating that. As he shot arrows at that beautiful form of Krishna, he was appreciating how beautiful is Krishna. How beautiful Krishna looks with the blood coming from his body. This is Bhishma Dev's Vira Ras. Not very easy to understand. As a soldier, as a fighter, he was appreciating how Arjuna is fighting. Arjuna was a fly before Bhishma Dev. But with Krishna's help, Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana. They must be successful. Bhishma knew this. The Pandavas, they must be successful because Krishna is on their side. There's no question. Bhishma alone, he could finish off all the Pandavas and the whole army. He was powerful enough. But with Krishna's help, then all then this Karna boasting, he can't do anything with Krishna. Even he's not fighting, but definitely the Pandavas must be successful. That one hint Sanjay gave, that, or at the beginning, Dhritarashtra himself suspected, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, he himself suspected that because this is a place of Dharma and Krishna himself is Dharma, then he himself suspected that actually there's no hope because my sons, they are not followers of Dharma. And at the end, Sanjay confirmed, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partana Dharaha, Tatra Shriya, and what else? Vijayo, there's no hope for you, King. There's no hope for your sons. Where there's Krishna and Arjuna, there must be victory. There's no hope. Don't even imagine that there can be any hope for your victory. Because Krishna and Arjuna, even all the greatest fighters in the world, if they're before Krishna and Arjuna, even Krishna's not fighting, there's no hope if Krishna wants Arjuna to win. So Bhishma knew that we have no hope. But he was appreciating the fight. He was in his Vira Ras, the mellow or the relation or the wonder, the rasa, that's all, what's the no word? What is the beauty of Krishna, which is beautified by the blood coming from the arrows shot? So Krishna, he was the chariot driver of Arjuna, and he wasn't, being the chariot driver, the chariot is a very dangerous position because you're standing, all the arrows are being fired at the rati. There's the sarati and there's the rati, the one on the fighter, who's on the chariot fighter. But some may be shot directly at the chariot driver also, because a rati without a sarati is, he can't fight. So the chariot driver is near. The chariot driver may be shot at, and even the arrows which are shot at the chariot fighter, there's some stray arrows may hit him also. So it's a dangerous, you can't defend yourself, you're just holding the reins. And it's the duty of the chariot fighter to protect not only himself, but his horses and his driver. So he has to, it's not such an easy job. One has to be very expert to be a rati, what to speak of being a maharati, who can fight with a thousand others, surrounded by a thousand others, and you're able to fight alone. How is that possible? It doesn't seem possible. But fighting was not only by physical strength, but by mantra shakti. Arjuna's arrows, they were successful, not just by his physical aim, but fighting was on a more subtle level also with the mantra shakti empowered in the arrows. So one arrow becomes a thousand arrows. Or one arrow becomes, it goes up in the sky and becomes a hailstorm. So this was going on. So Krishna was the chariot driver of Arjuna and covered in arrows. Being all the time, any time, you're just driving along, there's an arrow in your body. But they had to tolerate and go on. Nowadays we can't tolerate. If we get a little, the other day I had a thorn in my foot. And it becomes, a little thorn becomes very painful. What to speak of? An arrow in your head. But you may have so many arrows, but you have to go on fighting. And not even, Krishna not even fighting, but steering the chariot. So he was doing that, and Krishna was not disturbed by the arrows that people are shooting at. He became disturbed at Bhishma Dev's shooting arrows at Arjuna. Of course he was shooting arrows at Arjuna because he was on the other side. Naturally they fight with each other. But Krishna was Yesham Pakshe Janadana. He was biased towards the Pandavas. He was Pakshapati. He was not Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. He was biased towards Arjuna. And Bhishma Dev had taken the vow that, okay, I'm going to kill Arjuna. There's nothing that Arjuna can do. Anyway, I can kill him. I'm much more powerful than him. But there's nothing he can do. The only way that Arjuna is going to be alive, he told Duryodhana tomorrow evening, is if Krishna breaks his vow and fights. Because Arjuna is, I'm going to fight so terribly. My name is Bhishma. And that name is given for my vow of brahmacharya. But I'm not only terrible because of my vow, but because of my fighting. I'm going to fight so terribly that this Arjuna, who's gifted with the Gandiva he has all the weapons from Indradev and from Lord Shiva and somebody, he's killed all the Nivata Kavach. I'm going to kill him. And only Krishna can save him. And Krishna has vowed that I'm not going to fight. So either Arjuna is dead or Krishna is going to break his vow. It's the only way he can stay alive. So Bhishma is fighting so terribly that Krishna, he's going to kill Arjuna. Now Arjuna is getting overwhelmed. The arrows are coming so fast and so hard that even Arjuna, who can fight with thousands of soldiers, he can't fight with Bhishma. And he's becoming over, he's losing control, he's going to be overwhelmed. And Krishna, who's not disturbed by thousands of arrows being showered at him, becomes very angry at Bhishma. You rascal. And it's a well-known story. Ratangapani, his name has become famous. He picks up the weapon, the nearest thing he can, jumps down from his chariot and picks up some broken wheel of a chariot and rushes at Bhishma, who's, very nice. That's all I wanted to see, that's all. So he's appreciated how Krishna, with his hair, his long, beautiful hair, the gopis like to, Mother Yashoda and the gopis, they like to comb his hair and make it look very nice, but now it's all bedraggled and it's all crumpled up and it's got all sweat and blood and mud all mixing up in it. And Krishna's body is all, there's blood mixed with mud running down his, there's mud all over this dust has come all over his face and the mud is making some river through that. And this Krishna is running at me with a look of intense anger on his face, and Bhishma is completely satisfied. Now my life is perfect. This I wanted to see. And then he stops fighting and Krishna also, all right, I'm letting you off this time. Don't do it again. So this is Bhishma Dev's ecstasy. He's seeing Krishna in goading him to fight. I want to say, this is Arjuna's fight. I want to see you fight. So he saw that. And Krishna also, in his anger, that is also mixed with his appreciation of how wonderfully Bhishma Dev is fighting. So this is Viraras. Something very terrible. How the Kshatriyas, they will fight. The code of the Kshatriyas, that even for dharma, they have to fight their own brother, or even Parashuram was ordered, now you kill your mother. Who will follow such an order? You kill your mother. He followed. The terrible code. Of course, he was Brahmana, but he was imbued with Kshatriya spirit, Parashuram. So Bhishma Dev, who is experiencing the ecstasy of worshipping Krishna, understanding him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and inciting his anger so that he will, and inciting his anger to make Krishna, who is the very, who is Dharma, the very embodiment of Dharma, break his promise to fight, not to fight. This is Bhishma Dev's ecstasy. But he's appreciating that even far beyond this, which is completely pure. Sometimes the rascals, they want to find some fault even in Krishna. They will say, Krishna, he broke his promise, he told a lie, so many things. Not understanding who is Krishna. So they will accuse Krishna. Bhishma Dev is appreciating. This is his amogha lila, his spotless pastimes. But he's appreciating that even far greater than that, and giving even Krishna, he's the reservoir of pleasure, and he enjoys transcendental pastimes in all ways imaginable and unimaginable, even as a fish. And as a tortoise, he takes the form. What for? For his own pleasure, and to give pleasure to his devotees. He takes these different forms. So his ultimate form of pleasure is Krishna. And Krishna is the original supreme enjoyer. And he performs pastimes in many places. When he was present in this world, he traveled to so many places all over Bharatavarsha. But his pastimes were centered in various phases of time, which he's beyond anyway. But his pastimes appear to be within the purview of time. So his pastimes took place in Vrindavan, Dwaraka, and Mathura. Although he gave his mercy by visiting so many other places also. He visited Mithila, that Rajgira, and Kashi Dham, Varanasi. He visited Navadvip Dham. He visited Kundina, the place of Rukmini. He went to Kurukshetra. He went to so many places in Bharatavarsha. He was studying in Ujjain. Became a brahmachari. Then after that he went and got married. So he visited so many places. And even while he was performing pastimes on this earth, he visited other planets also to favor his devotees. He went to visit Bali Maharaj. He went to the heavenly planets to return that had been taken away, the earrings of Aditi. So he went there and had a fight there also in the heavenly planets. They didn't really appreciate it properly, his coming. He went to the planet of Varuna. He went to the planet of Yamaraj. And even he went to see one of his very special devotees beyond the coverings of the universe, Mahavishnu, who's also him, non-different from himself, but also his devotee. So he went to visit him. And as Balaram, he visited so many places. He did a complete parikrama of all the holy places of India. But his pastimes are centered in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. So Bhishma Devi is appreciating that Dwaraka Krishna, he spent much time in Hastinapur also. That comes within his Dwaraka Leela. So Bhishma Devi says, I know him like this, the king, kingly aspect, Dwarakadish. But the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, they know Krishna in a much sweeter way than I do. How was Bhishma Dev appreciating Krishna with the blood running on his face, the arrows, and coming at him with his eyes red in anger? What was the essence of Bhishma's appreciating that? That he was appreciating the sweetness of Krishna. Everything Krishna does is very sweet. So even in his anger, he's very sweet. This Vallabhacharya has made this very nice song describing everything about Krishna is very sweet. So even his anger is very sweet. Everything, his movements are very sweet. His Vrindavan is very sweet. His gopis are very sweet. So everything about Krishna is very sweet. So Bhishma Dev can appreciate how that lila, the lilas of Vrindavan, there the sweetness is more, and especially that is called madhurasa, the rasa of sweetness. There are different rasas, but one in particular is called madhuras. All of Krishna's dealings are madhur. Everything is sweet. Everything he does, his fighting, that's also sweet. Everything about him is sweet. But in his Vrindavan Leela, there's sweetness is predominant. In Dwaraka Leela and Mathura Leela, sweetness is there, but the aspect of Aishwarya is also very prominent. That how great is Krishna. And the devotees of Mathura and Dwaraka, even though they enjoy sweet loving exchanges with Krishna, but the sweetness never becomes like that in Vrindavan, because they can never forget that he is the Supreme Lord. So that there is a sense of hesitation, that they can't come too close to him. But in Vrindavan, there's no such sense that he's the Supreme Lord. Even they may know he's the Supreme Lord, but they don't care. They're not impressed by that. They say, well, he may be the Supreme Lord. So what? Give him a slap. He's a naughty boy. It doesn't mean very much to them. There'll be the Krishna coming back from the forest at the end of the day and waiting on the road to offer prayers. Brahma, Indra, all the demigods, and Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they're making fun of Krishna. That, oh look, they'll come up to him pretending to be like Lord Brahma, offering prayers like this. They think it's a big joke. That all these, this funny fellow with the four heads comes every evening and says all these funny things. But what's this, Krishna? It's Krishna. He can't even fight properly. Every day I beat him in wrestling. So, you know, they say he's very great and powerful and all this, but we know better. He was holding up that Govardhan hill, but he got all the credit, but we were also holding it up with our sticks. It wasn't only him, it was our joint effort. So they're not very impressed of Krishna being the Supreme Lord. But their love for him is so deep. That was seen when Krishna left, because everything in Vrindavan, everything became like a shadow. It's like something like you have a beautiful color TV, beautiful colors, and all of a sudden it goes to black and white. Something like that. All the color went out. All the charm went out. So Krishna left Vrindavan. And it's the same trees, the same Yamuna, the same people, the same sky, the same seasons, the same cows, but now there's no Krishna. So what is the use? So Bhishma Dev was appreciating that. But nevertheless, he desired to see Krishna. He prayed that let at the time of my passing away from this world, let me see that form of the Lord with four arms standing before me. So he appreciated what is the love of the devotees of Vrindavan, but his personal attraction to Krishna was that I will see him, the opulent Lord with four hands. So Krishna likes that also. He has so many forms, and all of his forms are for enjoying and giving enjoyment to his devotees. And his devotees, whichever form they serve, they're fully satisfied in that service. They don't want to be anything else. Hanuman doesn't want to be a gopi. He's quite satisfied serving Lord Ram. Srinathe janakinathe abheda paramamani tatapi mama sarvasva rama kamala lochanaha. Hanuman says, I know Ram. He's not just the king of Ayodhya. He's Srinath. He's the lord of Lakshmide. He's Vaikunthanath. He's the supreme lord. I know that. But anyway, everything to me is Lord Ram. I'm not going to go to Vaikuntha and start offering prayers to Srinath, because I have him here as Janaki now. I'm going to serve him like this. So every devotee has their particular relationship with Krishna. That is called Swarasakhi Siddhi. When one attains that, that means situated in Swarasakhi Siddhi. One serves according to one's own particular taste. There are unlimited jivas. And Krishna reciprocates with every single one of them. Every single one of them has a different relationship with Krishna. They can be classified in different ways. There's Dwaraka Leela, Mathura Leela, Vraja Leela, Vaikuntha Leela, Ayodhya Leela. And within that, there's Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras. Sakyaras, that's as far as it goes in Vaikuntha. Lower level of Sakyaras. This Sagaurav Sakyaras. But then in Vrindavan, there's the upper level of Sakyaras, Vishramba Sakyaras. That means that in Vaikuntha there's also a feeling of friendship with Krishna, but it's tempered by feelings of, well, he's the Supreme Lord, so we're friends with him, but we're very carefully friends. We're friendly, but you don't walk up to him and slap him on the back. What to speak of slapping him in the face, which a friend may do in fighting. So, or the gopis may do. So Sakyaras, then Vatsalyaras. In Vaikuntha, that is absent. In Ayodhya, that is present. But even the Vatsalya of Dasharath, that is not as developed as that of Vasudev. Because we can see he was, of course, this whole Ram Leela unfolded because of this. But Dasharath, he had the choice to break his vow or banish Ram. So he was ready to break his vow, but Ram said, no, we have to act according to Dharma. And he accepted that. Whereas Vasudev, he didn't think twice of cheating Kamsa and presenting Yashoda's daughter as if this is my newly born child. He didn't mind to cheat Kamsa, to act as a, even though he was famous for his word, his honesty, his truth, but he didn't hesitate to hoodwink Kamsa for the sake of protecting Krishna. So his Vatsalya Bhav is even more. But then even he and Devaki accepted that the Vatsalya Bhav of Nanda and Yashoda, that is far more developed than ours. They're your real father and mother, because the real father and mother are those who maintain you and raise you. So Vatsalya Bhav and this Shringara Ras, that of course Lakshmi Devi, she has that for the Lord in Vaikuntha, but only one. Whereas in Vrindavan Dham, then there are Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevan. There are unlimited gopis who are serving Krishna. So there are so many different classifications. And devotees, when they become fixed that now I am to serve Krishna, when they become free from the attractions of the material energy, then their attraction for Krishna in their specific rasa, that may begin to develop. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us, our relationship with Krishna. This should be revived. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. We all have our eternal relationship, a loving relationship with Krishna. That is to be developed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process. Shavanadi Shuddha Chitte Koreye Udoi. So, devotional service to Krishna, that is not, as Mirabai and others have misunderstood, me and Krishna, and forget everyone else. All her songs, me and Krishna. Where's all the other devotees? I will dance with you, Krishna. But those who are real devotees, they want to see, they're not thinking, I will dance with Krishna. They'll think, how Krishna, he will be happy by dancing with Radha, not with me. Who am I? So our endeavor should be to bring Radha and Krishna together for their happiness. This is actual bhakti. Not thinking how I will enjoy with Krishna, but how I will assist in Krishna, his enjoyment. What is his enjoyment? His enjoyment is only with Radha. So the Gauriya Vaishnavas, their aim is to serve Radha and Krishna, to bring them together, and that they do also under the guidance of devotees who are expertly engaged in that. So these are the aspirations of the, as all the Gauriya Vaishnava acharyas have explained, we sing daily. That we sing, we pray for the benediction to become a follower of the gopis of Vrindavan who are assisting Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. So that is the aim of the Krishna conscious movement. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport, that the aim of this Krishna conscious movement is to join the Supreme Lord in his rasa dance. That is the aim. Here, Bhishma Dev, he is pointing towards that the highest goal, even beyond that of seeing the four-handed form of the Lord, that is the bhakti of Vrindavan, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed what is the prem parakashta, the loving service of, what is the ultimate limit? What is the ultimate limit? There is no limit. Beyond any limits that can be imagined, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the direction how to achieve that. But to achieve that, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give, that requires that what we consider ourself, that shall have to cease to exist. What we consider me, mine, that shall have to be given up. The sense of identification with this material world, when that is completely given up, then we can, not like the Mayavadis who think we shall give up our identification with this material world and then there's nothing left. But rather, then our real identity can be uncovered. Our real identity is Jivasvarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. This recognition of this is the only path of auspiciousness for the jiva. But as long as we identify with this material world, with any specific location of this material world, or any particular family or country or race, or with my mind, with my body, as long as we identify with that, then we are deprived of the actual gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is to understand or to pray for the position of an eternal resident of Vrindavan. So these are some thoughts as Bhishma Dev is appreciating. He's seeing Krishna walking towards him with his unique movements, Lalita Gati. Very charming how Krishna is moving. And he's thinking how I'm appreciating, the gopis are appreciating even more, thousands and millions of times, how beautiful and charming are Krishna's movements. This word Lalita, we'll find, comes many times, must come in the description of Krishna. How beautiful, how charming, how graceful is Krishna. These beautiful, charming, graceful, here Prabhupada gives attractive, all these insufficient English words, they can give some indication of how Krishna is Lalita Krishna, Lalita Madhava, Lalita Govinda. So, any question or comment about this? How does a living entity define his dharma? Identify his dharma? He doesn't. He receives this knowledge. It's already there. But we receive that knowledge from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Jiva Surupai Krishna Nitya Das. That is our dharma. So that we have to be informed. We are in a state of amnesia, forgetting what is our actual situation. So we are informed of that. We are meant to serve Krishna. Then by chanting about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, engaging in services to Krishna, then gradually, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udoy. Gradually the consciousness that, oh, this is what I'm actually meant to do, this revives.
Mm.
How does Hanuman come in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela? Does anyone know? Murari Gupta. He is Hanuman. Ram Das, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him. Yeah, he's Ram Das. He comes in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela as Ram Das Hanuman. Yeah, that's right. He is Lord Ramachandra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Ramachandra.
How is that the gopis are not ready to go to see the Lord in Dwarka?
Why the gopis didn't want to see Krishna in Dwarka or Mathura? That I was saying. They won't find their Krishna there. Yeah, well, that's also described by the Acharyas, that they didn't want to disturb that situation. That Krishna's already there with his queens. They were hoping at Kurukshetra to bring Krishna back. They thought we can just, you know, take his hand and bring him. They're thinking they also didn't want to disturb the situation with Krishna with his queens, and he's in a different mood there, so they didn't want to disturb. They knew that this, how they love Krishna, that cannot be in another place. You don't understand? Well, Lord Brahma also doesn't understand, so it's not such an easy thing to understand. It's beyond logic. Nirvishesha, what is that? Jogir adhyan, nirvishesha gyan, ekane na paisthiti. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that. That word I was using, swarashiki shiti, braja gopidam, parama chanchala shati, nirvishesha gyan, no, jogir adhyan, nirvishesha gyan, ekane na paisthiti, the swarashiki shiti, the personal loving service of the gopis, which is their very treasure, that is parama chanchala, it's completely unpredictable and also completely chaste, which means that's totally contradictory. Sati and chanchala, these are two contradictory terms. So how can you understand this? Nirvishesha yogira, by the meditation of the yogis and by the logical analysis of the nirvishesh brahmavadi, ekane na paisthiti, there's no place for it here. It's just leave it out. It's rasa vichar, that is on the platform of the transcendental emotions. Bhagavad Gita is the philosophical basis. But the transcendental emotions, they do not work according to logic. By logic, if Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then he shouldn't have been driving Arjuna's chariot. It's not according to logic. It's not even according to maryada. But according to ras, they're different. It works differently. According to rasa vichara, Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can step over his body to serve him, but he'll starve rather than walk back. That story is there, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell in the doorway, exhausted after dancing for about 8 hours non-stop in the hot sun in Puri. He just got in so much ecstasy. And then eventually they had to stop him dancing. So then he came back to his room and collapsed in the doorway after taking his lunch. And Govinda had to massage his legs. That was his daily duty. But he asked Mahaprabhu, can you just move slightly so that I can come in and massage you? He said, no, can't move, not even an inch. He said, well, how can I massage you? It's up to you. Do whatever you like. So Govinda took his cloth Uttariya put it over the body of Mahaprabhu, offered obeisances, walked over, took the cloth off and massaged him, and Mahaprabhu fell asleep. Then when Mahaprabhu woke up, he saw Govinda still there, because usually Govinda would massage the Lord and then go to take his lunch, because he would feed Mahaprabhu, give him massage, Mahaprabhu would take rest, and at that time Govinda would take his lunch. So Mahaprabhu became angry. What are you doing? You're sitting here, why don't you go take your lunch? And Govinda said, well, I couldn't go out because you're blocking the doorway. Then he said, well, how did you come in? Govinda, he didn't say, but in his mind, he thought that to serve you, I can commit millions of offenses and go to hell. But for my own sense gratification, I can't even imagine in my dreams making even the slightest of offenses. So this is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offering a logical idea. You came in one way, so you go back the same way. But Govinda's understanding was beyond logic, beyond what anyone might consider normal or reasonable. So you can learn this from Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll finish there. No? There's another question.
Look, Shri, how many innocent people, animals, elephants, everybody has died?
In Kurukshetra, so many innocent people and animals died. This is the proposition.
Because of Krishna.
Because of Krishna.
Whether they are liberated.
They're all liberated. There's no one innocent in this material world. We say an innocent child has died. No one's innocent. Everyone's guilty. It's a wrong idea. People are innocent. Everyone is guilty. Everyone is guilty of envy of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.